Welcome to this edition of the Overland Workshop. Talk about driving on gravel roads.
I'm Andrew St. Pierre White. Join me as I share my passion for building four-wheel drive trucks and then traveling to the remotest parts of the world. I'm a prisoner of this
hill. It might surprise you that a lot of people, they don't understand gravel roads. And even though they might have driven on gravel roads quite a bit, that they don't quite understand gravel roads because they've never had anything go wrong. And I'm the kind of person that I have this second program running in my head all the time. And no matter what I'm doing, driving, whether I'm flying, whether I'm changing a spare tire, whether I'm doing anything that has potential hazard, I'm running a what if scenario through my head. So what now if I get a puncture? So I'm driving now at 90 kilometers an hour on this flat open gravel road. I could so easily do 110 on this road. It's smooth, it's not slippery, there's not a lot of loose stones, so the car's not sliding around. However, I'm not doing that because a couple of things could easily happen right now. A kangaroo could come out in front of me. So what am I going to do if a kangaroo comes in front of me now? I'm going to hold the steering wheel straight and I'm going to hit the brakes. That was so easy. It was so painless. There wasn't a moment of fright in coming to a standstill in a very, very short time. No skidding, the ABS didn't even turn itself on, and I used full braking and could have avoided an accident. If I had been doing 110, that stopping distance, and now this would be a scientific question to ask, but probably double. I'm on my way, I'm 90 kilometers an hour, it's 130 kilometers an hour stretch, I've got plenty of time to do it in, and if something happens, I can stop quickly. Often on a road like this, you get deep drainage culverts that run across the road, heavy rain, the road hasn't been repaired, and sometimes, particularly if the sun is very high, cannot see them because there's no shadow being cast. So you will see them at the last second. If I hit it at 90, or if I manage to slow down to 60 and I hit it, my suspension will probably survive. If I hit it at 90, having slowed down from 110, just maybe my suspension won't survive. So I kind of, again, I'm running. What is a comfortable speed where I'm not going to lose traction? If I do have to do an emergency maneuver, I can do it. And if I have to swerve, now, swerving I will avoid, but if I have to swerve at 90 kilometers an hour, I've got a good chance of keeping control of the car and not hitting any of the trees around me. If I'm doing 110, mind you, that chance diminishes a great deal. So why not travel at 90? All right, the other thing is that how good are you at controlling a slide? Because that's the big thing, isn't it? So now if I have to make an evasive maneuver and I go into a slide, how good a driver am I at actually getting the vehicle into a slide, controlling it, and keeping control, holding control, even though the vehicle is in a good slide, because that's going to happen. If I now swerve and do a evasive maneuver on a gravel road, I'm going to go into a slide. So now the question is, what kind of slide do I want to go into? Now, I can decide what kind of slide right now. I can decide now, what kind of slide am I going to be happy with? Am I going to be happy with a vehicle fishtailing all over the place? Or am I going to be happy with a gradual slide, kind of an all four-wheel slide? I have to make very gentle maneuvers on the steering wheel to correct it. If I decelerate a lot, I'm not going to get throttle-induced oversteer. In other words, if I take my foot off the accelerator, oversteer is induced. In a rear-wheel drive vehicle, I'll get a lot more of it. Or do I want that reaction of the vehicle, if I do get into a slide, to be more manageable, slower, easier to control? Well, the obvious answer is I want it to be easier to control. And the way I do that is I put it in four-wheel drive. Put it in four-wheel drive. And a lot of people, and this is so common, even today, so many people don't understand what four-wheel drive is for. Whenever I hear the word, we didn't need four-wheel drive, oh, we did the whole track and we didn't need four-wheel drive, I think to myself, you didn't need your seatbelt. Did you just wear it because it's law? No, you wore it because of a what-if situation. So what if? What if I have an accident? I want a seatbelt. Well, four-wheel drive is the same thing. I use four-wheel drive not because I need it, because I want the benefits of it should they pitch up. Now, right now on this dirt road, the vehicle is tracking perfectly. It's not, even if we're hitting a little bit of a sand here and there, it's going dead straight forward. It's easy to drive. It's effortless. I can relax. It's in four-wheel drive. Four-wheel drive equals the power, the energy, going to front and back wheels, which means it will have an inherent understeer. So in other words, when getting into a what-if situation where now I have to react, swerve, brake hard, all of these things, if I have to do any of those things, the car is not going to fishtail as much as it might because I'm in four-wheel drive. People think, oh, it's going to use much more fuel. I challenge you to measure how much extra fuel. I challenge you to measure it, because I have tried. I have tried with a number of different scenarios in different conditions. There is no difference. You will not measure it. And yet the difference in safety is enormous. So again, it's, you know, a lot of people will say, well, I don't need four-wheel drive and therefore I won't use it. And my reaction to that is, you don't understand it. You don't understand. It's not, when I'm going off-road, I need four-wheel drive because I need the traction. And then I might need the clearance, and then I might need the low transfer gearing. So those things, I will use them as I need them. But the fact that I can push a lever or switch a button, whatever vehicle it is, it's just a matter of going click, and now the vehicle is in a mode where it's so much safer to drive on a potentially slippery surface. Why not use it in four-wheel drive? Now, some people say, oh, you can't go fast in four-wheel drive. Nonsense. It's got nothing to do with speed. It's got to do with how slippery the surface is. Now, on a gravel road, there is enough wheel slip for it not to matter whether you drive at 160 kilometers an hour in locked up four-wheel drive. It's not gonna make any difference. Okay, it's not gonna damage your transmission because I'm driving on a surface that has slip on it. There is no what they call transmission wind-up. Transmission wind-up basically is, as you go around a corner, the inside wheels are traveling slightly slower than the outside wheels, and the front wheels are slightly traveling at a slightly different speed to the back wheels. And so you get what's known as transmission wind-up between front and back transmissions. On a gravel surface, there is no transmission wind-up. It doesn't happen. It only happens on a sealed surface, on a very high traction surface. So that's why vehicles can be need to be driven in two-wheel drive on a high traction surface and can be driven on a four-wheel drive on anything but the perfect traction surface. So even if you are driving on a tar road and it is bucketing down with rain, really coming down in sheets, and you can feel the slightest sense that your vehicle is not secure on the road, put it in four-wheel drive. Just remember to take it out when things get firm again. Now, when you're in a convoy, you do not have to keep up with the guy in front. It's his job to look after you. Convoy means you are responsible for the third person behind you. Therefore, you will drive at the speed that you are comfortable with. Never let somebody in the convoy say to you, guys, we've got to hurry up, and then you are driving beyond your capability, A, B, ability to be relaxed. If I'm like, I'm not going to drive well, am I? If I'm driving too fast and I'm scared and worried. No, that's not safe driving. You drive at the speed you're comfortable with, and everybody else must just plain live with it. Because safety is priority. And the person behind you, you'll look after them. And if they want to drive farther than you, well then it's just tough. Because you are responsible to looking after them, and the person in front will have to slow down because it's his responsibility to look after you. So drive at the speed that you're comfortable with, put it in four-wheel drive, and up goes the safety, and up goes the relaxation, and up goes the enjoyment of traveling and driving on gravel roads. A couple of days later, on another gravel track, and this is the Gibb River Road, one of Australia's most iconic routes tracks, and a few other things come to mind. A bit of traffic on this road, one about to pass me now. Turn your headlights on. Always, always, always turn your headlights on. Make yourself visible. I actually use my headlights on all the time. Never turn them on. Doesn't matter what kind of conditions, doesn't matter what the road is, dirt roads, tar roads, dust penetrates through the dust, especially if you're overtaking vehicles in dust. Another thing is, let's talk a little bit about corrugations. I've done a lot of videos in the past about corrugations and getting the speed right on corrugations. Now, on a rough gravel road, it's a nice idea to let your tires down a bit. How much? Well, there is a rule of thumb, but the way I look at it is, let them down a bit, drive it, if you can feel an improvement, but you don't want the tires to flex too much. So if you get out and you look at them, I'm not going to give you a percentage, I'm not going to give you a pressure, because I don't know what that pressure is, because your vehicle is not the same as mine. Your tires aren't the same as mine. The thickness and strength of the sidewall is not the same as mine. The amount of load you're carrying is not the same as mine. The difference between the front axle and the back axle is not the same as mine. What you do is you look at the tire, and if it's bulging a lot, then it's too flat. But it must bulge something. It must bulge, particularly on a road which is rough. If it's got a bulge, it's a shock absorber, it's a spring, it's absorbing the shaking. If it's too soft, the tire will get very, very hot and damage itself. So rather err on hard than soft, because tire damage, you might damage the tire and just plain not know you've damaged it. And it'll finally let go at high speed and possibly cause an accident. So you don't want to risk tire damage. So, look at your tyre, and I mean, there's common sense here. Traffic. There's common sense. You have to use your common sense. So, for example, if I had a tyre, and I'm going to use metric system. Sorry, guys, Australia is a metric country. I don't know why you're still using imperial on tyre pressures, nothing else. Okay, so I will put the conversion down below. For example, my tires now on the front, gravel road, I'm heavy. They're at 2.8 bar. I've dropped them down to 2.3 for gravel. It's still a strong tyre. It's still a stiff tyre. It's still a hardish tyre, but it just has some give in it. Back tyre, normally fully laden, I'm full of fuel, full of water, I would be at 3.6 bar, would be my normal pressure for asphalt at speed, fully laden. It's comfortable. It's hard on gravel. You can feel it through the vehicle. I'm down to 2.9 on the back. Now the back is bulging faster than the front because there's definitely more weight on the back than the front. So again, if I now got out of my car and looked at my tires, they'd look about the same front and back, even though the pressures are not the same. And that's what you want, because it's going to give you a similar amount of grip. It's also going to give you a similar amount of impact absorbing rubber front and back. That's what you need to go for. So a lot of people say, you know, this many bar, this many bar, this many PSI, this many PSI, it's got to be this PSI. And I say no, because our vehicles are not the same. Learn the principle and figure it out for yourself, but use common sense, because a tire that is too flat, as I've said, damages itself. You won't know if it's been damaged until one day it'll let go and you might be going fast and it could cause an accident. There you go, it's a little bit more. And if I think of anything else in the next couple of days, I'll do some more recording. The following day, more thoughts. If you are driving a vehicle that has full-time four-wheel drive, in other words, it has a differential between the front and rear prop shafts, and that differential allows a difference in speeds between front and back, and you can lock it or unlock it. So when you're going off-road, you would lock it, and when you're on-road, you would unlock it. When it is unlocked, your vehicle, unless it has specific electronic aids, traction control, if it doesn't have those things, then it is not in four-wheel drive. The reason for that is because the drive is equally split between the front axle and the back axle with an open differential. All the drive can go to the front axle, leaving nothing to the back. And an instant later, all the drive can go to the back axle, leaving nothing for the front. So in a gravel situation, when I say engage four-wheel drive, I'm talking, in that situation, those vehicles, I'm talking about locking the center differential, which is the equivalent of part-time four-wheel drive vehicles, where I actually engage four-wheel drive and two-wheel drive to the rear, four-wheel drive all four. That kind of vehicle is exactly the same configuration. When a full-time four-wheel drive vehicle has the center transmission in the locked position, which means I always get drive to the front wheels and I always get drive to the back wheels. There's no differential speed between the two. That is what I mean. So when I say on a gravel road engage four-wheel drive, you guys with permanent four-wheel drive vehicles, let me think about them. Best one is the Land Rover Defender. It's the most well-known one. Early Range Rovers. Mitsubishi Pajero, you have a two-wheel drive, you have a four-wheel drive, and then you have a four-wheel drive locked center differential. I'm talking about the four-wheel drive with locked center differential. In that situation with a Pajero, the two-wheel drive, all it does is decrease safety with no advantage at all. Okay, so in that particular situation, you would be in four-wheel drive, locked by locking the center differential. Land Cruiser 100 series, there's a center transmission lock because it's permanent four-wheel drive, lock the center. Now I am in proper locked up four-wheel drive. See, unless a permanent four-wheel drive isn't really four-wheel drive. All it means is that the drive can be to any of the four wheels. It's not to all of the four wheels, it's just to any of the four-wheel drive. It can choose, as as I mentioned, it's a common misnomer. Permanent four-wheel drive vehicles are actually very nice, and that's because with that, with the neutral stability that four-wheel drive gives, you can have that same advantage on a tar road when driving with an Opel open centre transmission and drive to the front sometimes and drive to the back sometimes. What that in effect does, it makes the steering kinder, more neutral, less oversteer, easier to control. It's just a very, very nice feature for the vehicles that have it. Again, that's why the Pajero two-wheel drive. Why would you want two-wheel drive when it's so much better in four-wheel drive? So that's a thing about engaging four-wheel drive. As I said before, it's not because you need it. It's because it's there and it's fantastic. And it's the most important thing that four-wheel drive does for any vehicle. It improves safety. I don't know if we're done yet. I'll think of anything. We've got a long trip through Australia. If I think of anything else, I'll add it.
Whoa, big lorry coming.
Oh, there is one more thing. Slow down. When you see traffic coming in the opposite direction, slow down. I just passed by some city boy in a Jeep going at stupid speeds. It's a smooth road, so they can. What about the stones that get kicked up under the windscreens? Slow down, pull over. It's just crazy. Anyway, I find it very frustrating. Headlights on, see another car, ease back, juice the dust, pull over, get past safely, and speed up again. But this is not logic to a lot of people. Yeah, it frustrates me actually, because it's just... Nobody can afford a smashed windscreen out here in the middle of the bush. That's a real mission. So far from a repair. A repair is days away, not hours, days.